Welcome to the Two Regular Teachers podcast. My name is Rick Kaler-Thompson.
My name's Adam Lavaz. Thank you for joining us for the first episode of 2016. Now, I think the pertinent question off the top, Rick, has to be, how many days until Easter holidays? I think that's got to be that's the most important question of the lot, isn't it?
It is, and if there's any non-teachers out there, Adam, are going to be kicking under the table right now.
I know, it had to be said. But also, mate, off the top, we do want to say that this is a big milestone episode for us. It is our 50th episode. We're pretty excited that we got to 50 episodes.
We are, and thanks to all our listeners. And we talked a lot at the end of last year, didn't we, in the lead-up, about what will we do for the 50th episode. Will we wear suits? Will we have cocktails? Will we have a plethora of food and have some special guests? Adam, we're just in our work polo shirts and just sitting at the table with a cup of tea.
And some M&Ms, I might add, which I'm really enjoying. But I also think that's the way we want to celebrate. I think we had a really good celebration at the end of last year where we had a lot of special guests on and things like that. But our 50th episode is a big deal for us. But I think also we haven't necessarily done anything for this 50th episode because we've actually made a pretty busy start to the year, mate. And I know that for yourself, you came back to some unexpected building works. Am I correct?
Absolutely. And I'm sure there's a lot of teachers around the whole country and internationally who have lived through this, Adam. But there were some building works going on at the school end of last year. Look, they look great. I mean, the renovations going on look fantastic. No complaints there. But didn't sort of expect to see painters in my room the day before the kids came back. So it's been pretty full on. The first day was, I'll touch on it later, Adam, we had the entire Year 3 cohort in a double room for the first day, and of course, a Victorian summer decided to rain all day, and look, at one point I thought of my garden, Adam, and I thought, how good is this for my garden? I'm not there now.
Got the priorities. How many kids was that in the double room, by the way?
There was one absent, Adam, which took it down to 98.
Jeez, 98, that was like serious sardines in there, I reckon they would have been.
Absolutely it was, but I tell you what, on a positive note, I'm working with three new colleagues who I haven't worked with before, and we did mention to each other during the day what a great baptism of fire for the four of us. And look, I have to commend them; they were fantastic.
And great.
We're slowly getting back to normal, Adam, as of Wednesday, Thursday this week.
And
I'll drop a few little things in during the episode about some of the stuff that happened. It all happened last Friday, Adam, when the students came back.
Yeah, and that's when it all happens. And to go on from that as well, obviously people would know about the ginormous downpour a week ago that happened in Geelong and around Victoria, I suppose. And we even had a few problems there where our prep room got absolutely flooded. I've never seen anything like it at a school. It was that on the Wednesday where you had that first day back and do all the meetings, to the point where there was literally rivers of water coming down off steps, down steps, and making it was unbelievable. And it was just coming to the point where our preps had to be cancelled. So our first time preps on the Thursday they were starting, we had to ring the families and say, we can't have you in, the prep room is flooded, you're going to have to start on Monday. And the parents, to their credit, considering how excited the kids would have been, were absolutely brilliant. But what a thing to have to come back to. One in a million, I reckon.
Absolutely. But isn't it a real classic thing for the good old government schools to flood when torrential rain hits? One of my only memories from being a prep student myself, Adam, was the day that our prep area flooded.
Really?
And I remember being passed, carried across a torrent of water. That's all I remember by, I think it was a teacher and some parent helpers. Yeah. But it's kind of amazing. Government schools always do flood, don't they?
They do. And of course, it was a standalone portable that flooded, mind you. So, I mean, there you go. And I think what actually was the culprit was tennis balls in the gutter. A humongous build up of tennis balls.
It's funny, isn't it? It's such an innocent thing. Yeah. It's an innocent thing.
And you kind of think, if I'd have known that, I would have just gone, stuff this, I'll just get on the roof and get them out.
But look, we've lived through those two things at the start of our year, Adam. But we want to put a shout out to those teachers, and particularly some of them who are in our Vic PLN. Some of them who even spoke to us at DigiCon, who've lived through the really disgusting bomb threats and shooting threats that have come through on telephones at some schools around Victoria just this week. And evacuations and lockdowns have had to happen. Obviously a hoax, pretty rough start for those students and staff.
Exactly. And you've got to take it seriously. So it's one of those things where you probably go, 99.9% chance this is an absolute hoax, but there's that 0.01% that it could be really. You've just got to go through that. And I know we've been getting emails, I'm sure you've got them as well, from the department saying you have to take this seriously, regardless of what whatever you think, it has to be taken seriously, and you've just got to put all the emergency evacuation plans in place.
Absolutely, you hit the nail on the head there. So we've got a big episode. We've got a few things to talk about besides, as well as the start of the year. Just to finish off our intro, I'd like to say welcome back to the students, welcome back to the staff, welcome back to the leadership, Adam.
Yep.
But let's just say welcome back to the department technicians.
Well, Rick, it's wonderful to be back in the chair and wonderful to get the first topic going. And we thought tonight in a topic we normally look for articles and blog posts and things, but we actually wanted to just sit here and have a discussion about the first week back. And I know for yourself, after spending a lot of time in a grade six classroom and even 5-6 classrooms prior to that, you've made a bit of a fall back to grade three. And I know that the first week back of term can be a little bit of a challenge. Yeah, it can be rewarding and challenging. I just thought I'd throw to you and we'd have that discussion about some of the differences and some of the challenges and things that have come up for you in that first week back.
Yeah, well, from a primary perspective, Adam, it is interesting when you move levels, particularly if you jump, like you said, from, let's say, year six, like I have, down to year three. Yeah. And I just want to touch on the fact that probably just over 3/4 of our staff have moved year levels. There's been a huge change up year.
Do you think that's a good thing? Do you think that keeping that change is a good thing?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I do.
I agree.
I think one of the great things is being able to work with different people.
Yep.
I think just professionally we should be teaching different year levels. And also I think you kind of get, also you may hit a level where you've taught some of those students a couple of years back.
Yep. Yep.
And I think that's also nice because then you're able to give insight to what those students
are. I think
it
keeps you fresh too. It keeps you teaching your mind fresh to, you know, if you're up in a certain area for so long, you kind of just get into a groove. Then you've got to go back. You kind of got to really switch on again. So,
They say that changing school, you should change schools, you know, sometime, at least once in your career. Yep. I mean, but if you're not, you've got to change year levels, don't you?
Absolutely.
But I do recall in our first episode in 2015, we discussed your move from the senior down to year 1-2.
Yep.
So it's kind of me in that seat this year. And one of the big things that I've noticed as we've kind of slowly got back to normal after the building works, is changing my language, Adam, changing the way that I speak.
Yeah.
And I haven't quite got there yet. And it's a massive adjustment. It's going to take me a good week, I reckon at least, to just to be consistent with the way that I speak to these kids. Because they, essentially, they're still grade two.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Is it kind of to where you try to explain a lesson or try to explain something and you've got a little bit of the blank stare? You kind of said something going, okay, off we go. And there's a few kids sort of sitting there looking at you with a look of, I didn't understand what you said then. I didn't really. And you know it's purely because of the language that you've used. You think the grade sixes, off they go. No problem at all, but they're kind of sitting there going, I don't really know what he's talking about. And that's not a bad thing. It's you just going, you know, I've got to change the language I use.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, even just with instructions, not necessarily teaching a concept, but just giving a set of instructions, you know, for the pack up, for instance, put this away, grab your bag, chair up, that. I do have a couple of students that I know that once you hit step two, anything else will be straight over their heads. Yeah. So that's normal for a lot of classrooms.
And one thing I also want to bring up, obviously, from the grade sixes to the grade threes, and I know, you know, I'm still in 1-2 this year, and a lot of the grade ones are essentially still preps. The independence of the grade threes compared to the grade sixes, and obviously I'm even talking from the 1-2s where I had mine motoring along beautifully, and now this year it's back to square one. You know, the independence of those grade ones is minimal. You know, they're constantly going to the toilet, constantly want to show me their work, constantly want to tell me about their loose teeth and, you know, all those sorts of things. Have you noticed the change as well in that regard?
Yeah, big time. Noticed the toilet one is doing my head in. I've already put in a couple of things in place to try. And
you can't say no, though. If they come and say to you, I want to go to the toilet, okay, off you go. Do you do that?
First day, Adam, I was pretty nice. I've started to say no today.
Really?
Absolutely. But I've put in expectations about going because don't go during the time when it's the beginning of a lesson. Mm. They need to know. But they, to their credit, they really understand that.
Good.
And you can kind of tell the ones that who really weren't busting.
Yeah, of course. They just want to get out for a couple of minutes.
Absolutely. Yeah. I must admit, because we've had such upheaval at the start of this year, getting back to their independence, they've rode, just another reason why kids are so resilient. These students that we've got have just rode with all these little challenges that have been the start of the year. It's just to them, it's just that's what year three's been like so far. It's been great.
Yeah, and I think that's also a credit to your school. And when things like that happen and it goes really well, I think the school needs to look within and actually celebrate that, because I think that comes from the culture and what the expectations you have of the students, that they can come up against a bit of adversity and come out the other side no worries. And you kind of go, oh, these are strong kids, but we've put things in place to help them become strong kids as well.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Yeah, and I think other staff have mentioned that across the school that it's really happening. Look, at one more thing I'd like to talk about with the whole changing is also, I guess, how to time things. Like obviously you realise that you can't pad out some lessons. Pad out's the wrong word, but you can't go independent for an extended period of time like you can with your sixes. And I've already today noticed that, right, okay, so that kind of lesson's only going to be able to go for 20 minutes, you know, in terms of the independent time.
Yep. And short and sharp.
Yeah, short and sharp. So, yeah, and Adam, I must admit, I'm kind of back into a bit of a four-wall classroom type setup.
Okay.
I have movable walls with the teacher next to me, so we can open, and we have opened a little bit, but this is the first time I've been in a, I guess, a slightly traditional classroom since... Gee, probably the beginning of 2007, Adam.
Gee, that's a long time.
Long time.
So are you excited or are you claustrophobic?
I have had claustrophobic moments.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
Almost sort of lonely moments.
Okay.
I had a moment on Monday when I kind of looked around and thought, oh, where's my colleagues? You know?
Yeah,
really interesting in that respect, but also some really nice moments getting to know the kids.
Absolutely. And look, one thing we do want to touch on, we've touched on it before, I think probably at the start of each year we've done this, but obviously the staff... everyone's sort of up and about. Everyone's got less bags under the eyes. Everyone's on a diet. Everyone's coming with wonderful lunches and yogurts and all sorts of things that just dissipate as the term goes on. You kind of look over and go, "You having a bit of cake today? What happened to the yogurt?" I feel like a bit of cake, you know, that sort of stuff. And you know, but everyone is up and about. Even though you and I were talking off air, that I still feel like I'm organised. But I'm busy. I'm really busy. I've got a lot to do. Mm. But I still feel like my kids are, you know, doing things and I'm organised. But I just feel like for every one thing that I'm finishing off, another two are just going on top at the moment. And I just, you know, I'm trying to claw my way through to get it all finished.
I think everyone will be able to agree with you on that, Adam, and really sympathise. Because, that to-do list just goes up big, doesn't it? And it's really funny about the being up and about and diets and things like that. It's kind of funny. A lot of us come back and... oh, we overindulged, you know, and it's like, well, it's the holidays, you know, and it's fine. Like,
that's what it's for.
But it is kind of, it's quite comical.
It's quite comical, So, look, for everyone out there, we hope you've had a wonderful start to the year. If you've changed classes, particularly gone up or gone down, we'd love to hear from you.
Well, Adam, being the start of the year, there's always a hell of a lot of media about education, isn't there?
There is.
And a lot of the big issues come up. I mean, we've seen talk about ATAR scores. Mm. We've seen talk about teachers leaving the profession, young teachers. And, of course, I think it's the last few years particularly, and this year again, iPads and BYOD is heavy in the media. And it's interesting that the media is now, they are a step behind, but they're kind of catching up with some of the issues with BYOD and and the positives that have come through maybe a couple of years ago. In this topic, and I've found two articles from The Age just over the past few days. One about breakage of iPads in schools, and parents even it says like the headline was "Schools in and Mum ran over my iPad." So, and then the second one is also about backing up students' work in iCloud. And I'll get to that second, but I just wanted to touch on the damage to iPads. Being in Year 3, I'm at the forefront now of where the BYOD program begins at our school. We're just slowly getting into it. Next week we're going to hit more usage time. But it's interesting. I mean, all schools have different sort of systems in place to deal with breakage. I've discovered, and like, because the article touches on the different ways that the iPads can get a split screen or something. Like, it could be like an accident where it's dropped at school, or it does say, you know, apparently it's more common than you think, where maybe a school bag gets put in the car boot, the device falls out without anyone seeing it. I can't imagine it happening, but apparently it says here that it happens more often.
It's just the kid who forgets to zip up their bag, I suppose, in a bit of rush. Come on, and chucks it in, just doesn't zip it up.
Car runs over it, Now, what I have noticed, though, in the experience I've had with devices being in the room, is that particularly in the last 12 months with BYOD, because the students are bringing in a device of their own, damage is not so common because it's their own.
Yeah,
it's not the schools; it's their own, and they care about it, and they really treat it just as if they're bringing in maybe a special item from home, like a toy from home. So, one thing was the article mentions is insurance, and I know that all schools probably have a different kind of way that they do insurance, but that if it's damaged, most government schools, that if the device is damaged at school, it has to be covered by the parents.
So
the BYOD thing is not really covered by anything,
and that's a big thing, isn't it? Because I'm sure you guys as well, when we did the laptops, that was a big thing to make clear to them. That if something goes wrong, if your child, you know, doesn't look after it, grabs it by the screen or does something, then you're liable to pay for that and stuff. And I agree, just before you go on to your next one, I agree about the you know, that it's theirs and they look after it more. You know, some of their laptops, it wasn't a BYOD, but they had a specific laptop that was linked to them, and we had no problems with them, no breakages, no any, because it was theirs. It was literally that one. No one else would use that one. It was linked to them and they would use it. So I think that's a real valid point, that it really brings out some of that responsibility on them too.
It does. A really sort of, I mean, you could call it it's probably not a grey area, but it's maybe a little iffy one, is when damage is done to an iPad by an outside party.
Yeah, yeah.
So if another student accidentally breaks it, mean, or drops it, or even on purpose, then that family is liable to pay for that other family's iPad. And that's a tricky one. And I guess if there's anyone who listens to our podcast who's willing to share what their school does if that sort of act happens,
I think it comes back to the family as well. I mean, if you've got a kid there who turns around and throws their elbow and knocks one off the table, you're going to have a family that will crack the stones and go, no, that was his fault, blah, blah, blah. You're going to have another one who will be understanding about it. Mm. And maybe even, you can talk to that other family and meet halfway. You are spot on. It's a really grey area. And I really think it depends on families and what their response is to, their reaction is to that happening.
Yeah, and this is where the family and school connection needs to be strong as well. Because if families have got a really good system in place at home to look after the device... Yeah. Give certain screen time, charge the device, then that's going to back up what the school's trying to do, because we've got the kids' best interests at heart. We're not doing...
Absolutely.
Schools aren't doing BYOD to say, stuff you parents, we're going to make life hard for you. Mm. We've got the best intentions, haven't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And one final thing about this first article is that it says that apparently there's less breakage... And look, it doesn't say where this data comes from. There's less breakage in government schools in lower socioeconomic regions. Apparently, a lot of the wealthy areas have more breakage. So
maybe they're a bit kind of, well, Mum will just buy me another one. Maybe they get everything and think, well, that could be the mindset. No. And where those people in low socioeconomic go, how good is this? This is just unbelievable. I've got to almost guard this with my life. It's interesting.
Now, the second article, Adam, is one I'd like to touch on, probably more from a personal point of view, but there was an article in the tech section of The Age by Adam Turner, who's a technology journalist, and he wrote, being the start of the school year and with lots of schools doing BYOD with tablets, schools need to think about backing up.
Mm.
The old dog ate my homework doesn't work anymore.
The cloud ate my homework, maybe. It drifted off. Yeah. It's blue sky.
It's funny you should say that, Adam, because in his article, he outlines some of the ways that you can help students back up their work. Yeah. Now, iCloud's one of the things he talks about. And this is where my personal side comes in, because, Adam, I have been an Apple man for a little while. I've had an Apple iPhone for many years now, and I've got an Apple MacBook. iCloud is something I've never warmed to, Adam, and I'd like to, again, hear comments and opinions from our listeners. It just annoys me. I actually don't, and this is where I could be old school.
Yep.
So with iCloud, for those people that don't know, you get 5 GB of free space, and if you've got everything turned on your iPhone or iPad, everything will sync to the iCloud. Now, obviously, if you've got numerous devices, that works.
Mm.
But your 5 GB can fill up quick if you've got photos and videos in there. Particularly with students who are filming and taking photographs
all the
time. It
only takes a couple, doesn't it, to fill it up?
Yeah. I don't like things being in the cloud, though, because what I prefer to do is to have everything on my device that's easily accessible.
Mm.
If my device fills up, then I'll plug it in and I'll put it onto an external hard drive or I'll put it somewhere else. The cloud, it takes so long to download photos off it.
Yeah.
So I've turned off my iCloud for photos, but I just wondered, what are the other answers that people out there use? Now, I with students a long time ago, when we used to just use silly old laptops, this is back in about, 2010, we used to use Dropbox, and I still use Dropbox because you've got lots of great free storage there. Yeah. But the iCloud situation just stuffs me up. Now, if I have to try and use iCloud with my students this year, my knowledge is still pretty poor on it, and I'd be concerned. So I'd be probably encouraging my students just to...
Save it to the network,
because we do have access to the network.
Yeah.
But I actually don't have an answer, Adam, because they are going to fill up their photo stream and their video stream probably the most. And I'm just wondering, and this is where I'm putting it out to our listeners, what's my best option to back up their work so they don't lose it?
I think that's a great question, mate. And I think there's a lot of options out there that schools are using. I know Microsoft 365 Office is one that's come out that the government's really beginning to push a little bit, that you've got access to all of those things and the kids can get in and save everything. I think there's actually a huge amount of space. I've actually heard, this is for laptop users, for people who use laptops in the classroom. I've actually heard another one recently that all the kids at the start of the year buy a USB. And they put the USB in and they save everything to that USB. So that could be 8 gigs, 16 GB. I mean, they're not too expensive these days. I think an 8 GB one from Officeworks you can get for $5 these days. I mean, they're really cheap. So there are options out there. But of course, you use the iPad. So
I guess
the way around it?
I think what you said is spot on for laptops. But yeah, I'm kind of thinking about the devices and tablet devices. Absolutely. Because I think it really is a good skill to teach students still to back up their work. So if you are using a laptop, like you said, quite a heavy USB with a lot of gig would be great to back it up, because you've got to learn that you need to back things up so you don't lose it. But I'm still not satisfied with some of the cloud options with a tablet device. But so I'm sure that there's someone out there who can go, Rick, I've got an answer for you.
Yeah, well, if you have that answer, please get in touch with us after the podcast.
Adam, also being the start of the year, we're working on relationships and building that culture in our classroom and trying really hard to get to know our kids, as all teachers are across primary and secondary.
Yep.
And I know that at times, you know, you can get to the middle of the year and you might learn something about a student that you thought, wow, how did I not know that at the start of the year? And you discovered an interesting article from last year from The Independent. About, and a lot of people might know this from social media, but a kind of tactic or an idea that a teacher came up with to try and find something out about their students.
It was really interesting because student welfare is something that I find really big at the start of the year. And over the last couple of years, again, this is something you and I discuss off air as we discuss the topics and things, that it's quite often that things happen in the kids' lives that are quite big, that we don't find, that almost sometimes the teacher is the last person to know. And that can be anything from, you know, a death in the family, you know, parents separating, things like that, where you can tell that the child is off, so to speak, and you don't know why. And you might actually go into, how are you going? Oh, yeah, okay, and I don't want to talk about it. And it's not till you delve deeper or the principal even comes over to let you know weeks later and you go, oh, I wish I had known. I could have put something in place a bit earlier. So this article really hit home to me. This teacher actually started off a sentence on the board that said, I wish my teacher knew, and gave her kids the option to anonymously write something for them to, I think it was anonymously, or maybe their names are on it. I might have to reread that.
That's a good question, actually, because I would imagine that you'd want to know who
you'd
it is.
You'd want to know who it was.
Just so it would add to that understanding.
See, anonymously jumps into my head that I felt like that was in the article, but you'd want to know. But she actually asked her kids, yeah, so as I said, had I wish my teacher knew, and encouraged them to write down things about that they wanted them to know. The first one for me is one that really got me into the article and kind of hit home for me. And the first one that she got was, I wish my teacher knew I didn't have pencils at home to do my homework. Now, how many of us, you know, over the journey, would someone doesn't hand in a thing of homework or do something like that and you just, oh, come on, that's not good enough. You know, you don't know some of those things, that that kid may not have enough money at home to have pencils to be able to do those things. You know, it really kind of goes, it really puts you into, it puts things into perspective for me.
Yeah, look, it does. And if these, like, I mean, and I don't want to put on my cynical hat here, Adam, but I'm just going to slightly edge it on.
Yeah.
When we read things from overseas, you know, you always have that, and particularly when it hits the media, you kind of have that little doubt, okay, how much of this was true?
Yeah,
and I'm not. I actually believe most of this is, because I noticed that there's a lot of tweets from the article where a lot of teachers from around the globe actually tried the idea out.
Yes, yep.
Because I really, the one, like the next one that you had there was, I wish my teacher, one student wrote, I wish my teacher knew I don't have a friend to play with me. Now, that one certainly tugs at the heartstrings, because that's kind of like, you know, we want kids to feel like they belong at school.
Yep.
I imagine if a kid's writing that already, that's surprising that as a teacher you wouldn't have picked that up.
Yes, and that's I agree with that one. There's things about home. I mean, if I go to the next one, for example, the next one said, I wish my teacher knew sometimes my reading log is not signed because my mum is not around a lot. Now, again, that pulls at the heartstrings a bit, and you might not know because the reading log's not signed. And sometimes your inclination is to go, why is your reading log signed? Come on, this is the second time you've done that. You should be more attentive, and you know, these sorts of things. Whereas we don't know that one, but you're absolutely right about, I don't have a friend to play with me. Surely as a teacher, you would have noticed that before you needed to ask that kid a question.
Yeah, but absolutely. But I think on the positive side, you know, and I'm going to try and sort of counteract my own argument here, is that I guess we know that there are some students that might just want that attention from the teacher, so they might write something like that.
Yeah,
but
true.
Also, it has to be, at least it's going to generate maybe a conversation. It's going to generate a conversation between, maybe a private conversation between the teacher and that student to find out whether they are lonely and not playing with
them. That's right. And it's really important that, you know, we find these out. And there's another one, that just one more I want to read that is a little bit hard to read, but it said, I wish my teacher knew that even though sometimes I do not get good grades, that I try. Also that I get stressed, but when I come to your class, I feel better. So there are those positive ones. And as a teacher, I think you know those kids that are a little bit behind, but you look at them and go, gee, they're trying hard. And as a teacher, what do? You go over there and you give them that praise and you give them that encouragement every chance you get. Fantastic, you know, that student of the week, or, you know, they just do something really well spelt, or, you know, gee, that reading in the conference today was great. You really big up because you know that they're giving their best, and, you know,
absolutely.
It's really, that's really important.
Well, I'm really intrigued. I'm kind of intrigued to try it, Adam, and I wonder whether, I'm sure, like me, there's other people out there who had that tiny little mini hat of cynicism, but there is a part of me that would like to try it. Yeah. Maybe not so much early on, but maybe later in the year, once I've got to know the kids. Absolutely. And just see what maybe comes about.
Well, I'd be interested. I'd love to see a bit of a follow-up of that. And I guess the reason I wanted to put in this article for episode 50 or the episode, you know, season 3, I suppose you want to say, is to encourage everyone to make sure to get in there and get to know your students, because that can really bridge the gap between a kid who's struggling to learn and a kid who's really pumped to come in and learn. And to get, you know, your kids and spend that time with them is really, really important.
And if you'd like to leave a note, just leave a note on our blog with I wish Adam and Rick knew.
Oh, I'd love that. Yeah, so jump on there and tell us what you'd like us to know about. Well, I'd formally like to pass it over to the great man himself, RKT, for the first anecdote for 2016. Mate, take it away.
Well, it's an honour to have the anecdote in episode 50. And I just want to go back to Friday, Adam. So I did mention it at the outset of the episode about what a messy day that we had. So we had... we only had access to a double classroom that had just been painted.
Yep.
Okay, so the paint fumes were very strong. Water-based paint, apparently, but it's still paint fumes, very strong. 98 students in the double classroom all day. Wet weather timetable. It just decided to rain all day, like I mentioned earlier. Okay, now what we tried to do was 98 students labelling all their items and books all at the one time. We had nowhere to go. We had to try. That was interesting, Adam.
I've no doubt about that.
Unbelievable. Turned on the air. So we had the fans going. We had the windows open. Mm. The rain wasn't coming in, luckily. And we had the air conditioners on just to try and air the place out so the paint smell wasn't so bad. The air conditioner started to leak, Adam. It just got better. It went on and on. All sorts of things.
Yeah, yeah.
Parents hanging around at the start. And I was embarrassed. I thought, oh, God, what are they going to think?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, of course.
We had lots of challenges. Wet weather timetable, so they had to stay in at lunchtime. I can't even remember. I was, like, my head was starting to burst with, like, a bit of a headache, the paint fumes, Adam. There were more things that happened. But anyway, we got to the end of the day, handed out some notes, and we didn't even say a proper good afternoon. Mm. The kids were out the door.
Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah.
The four of us kind of collapsed on the carpet. Yeah. We kind of sat there. We all looked at each other and were like, heavy breathing, kind of sighs and going, what just happened?
Mm.
And we had a little moment. It was the only moment, one of the only moments all day where we just had a massive laugh and went, thank God it's Friday and it's our first day anyway. You know, like, but, and then we, just as we were thinking, we got through it, Adam, we looked up, we heard a sound. A bird had got in. A bird. One of those little birds with a yellow beak. I know what they are. They are nasty. If anyone in Victorian schools, I hate them.
Yep.
They love getting into classrooms, flying around. So there it is. If anything, think of all the things that could go wrong in your classroom all day. Finally, the bird comes in. Now, I want to touch on that, Adam.
Yep.
And I apologise to our listeners if we've touched on this before. I don't think we
have. No, I don't think we have.
Birds getting into classrooms.
Yep. It does happen.
Trials and tribulations. It does. Now, there's always a staff member in your team, generally, who hates birds and freaks out. Like maybe watch the Hitchcock film or something and struggle with it, who has to just dive into the resource room or the meeting room or whatever and get away.
Mm.
There's always two who are sort of like, well, I don't really want to do it. And so, you know, you always think, I'm going to have to be the one, aren't I? You know, the cleaners don't want to have a bar of it. If a bird gets in while the kids are there, oh, it's always pandemonium, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, look, there's a bird, they're sitting there watching it random. Look at it. And they all try and say what it is and stuff. And they just want to say it's a cockatoo.
I know.
It's really funny you bring this one up. The start of this year, we came up to, you know, here you come up to do the early sort of, you know, set up and things, and the kids aren't there and things. Went over to our big B&R room. One of the teachers was standing well away from her classroom, and I was going, oh, what's going on? Magpie in the B&R room, hidden behind some resources, flapping and knocking against the window and couldn't get out. Now, we were standing there and I kind of looked at him and went, oh, good luck with that. I left. I don't want to borrow that sort of stuff.
You left?
I left after a while. I must admit, I'm not a fan of birds. All the doors were open and I was watching it. It would fly up and bang itself into a window next to an open door. And then it would fly over and bang into another one. There's windows, like, there's things everywhere.
It took
ages to get it out.
It's an absolutely perfect example of the difference in sort of instinct and nature of other animals compared to humans, isn't it?
Yeah,
because you're right, they go to every kind of window and every piece of light except the door that's open.
Drives you balmy.
Do you know how we got this one out?
Yeah.
There's these top windows really high because they're really high ceilings in this classroom, and they open out with a big winder wheel.
Yep.
And that was already open. So this bird's little buddy was outside the window pecking on the window.
Oh, really?
It's like they were talking. So I just opened the window and it just popped out.
It was almost like, you're in, mate, you're in. Yeah, what are you going to do? Are you going to peck one of them?
Absolutely.
That sort of stuff,
I'll just finish off on one thing, if I may. In my first year at this new school, the doors used to be left open a lot on this big building. And one day I was taking this group of year sixes and they just weren't listening. And there were these two girls who were just not even facing me. They were turning around looking towards the front door. And I kind of got pretty angry. And I said, right, and I stopped the thing as I went, right, turn around, face me. what are you... And they kind of looked at me with this look, and I thought, at first I thought they were looking at me with a real sort of smart look.
Yep.
They waited till I kind of ranted a little bit. I don't rant much, but I ranted a little bit. And they said, sorry, Mr. KT, but we're looking at the family of ducks that just walked in. And I looked, there was a pillar in my way. I sort of looked to the right. And sure enough, there's this mother duck with her ducks just wandering in the front door and into the classroom.
Oh, I love that story.
It took so long to get them out. They flew up and they sat on top of like these flat lights and just tucked the old wings in and just sat there.
Like almost as if, what are you going to do about it? Come on, try and get us down. Yeah.
Poo everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, geez, mate. Well, that's an absolute rip. And I must admit, they're the only sort of birds I don't like coming into my classroom. So, you know... Was that a bit cheap?
Very cheap.
Oh, sorry. Just pretend I never said that. But if you've had any problems with birds or anything like that coming into your class, or even kids bringing in little slaters on their hands and they want to put them in a jar and that sort of stuff, if you had any of that sort of stuff, we'd love to hear from you.
I'm speechless.
So, mate, that brings an end to a pretty monumental episode for us in episode 50. Must admit that when we first started this, getting to 10 episodes, we were really happy with. But to get to 50 is, I'm really proud of some of the work we've done. And we're really looking forward to doing 50 more episodes.
Yeah, let's hope, Adam. It's great to be back in the chair and great to be back in the chair for a milestone episode. And we look forward to the term. We hope that we wish the best to all our listeners and other teachers out there for a great term one. We'll be back most weeks, although we are going to get the calendar out and we'll probably have the odd week where we maybe do not publish an episode, but we'll always try and just publish a little reminder about that.
Absolutely.
But it's a slightly shorter term for us, isn't it, Adam? So
it is, yeah.
We'll try and churn out as many episodes as we can.
And we're looking forward to it, mate. So from me, Adam Lavaz.
Me, Rick Kayla Thompson, and we've both been two regular teachers.